Donald Trump is facing his biggest fear right now. He's facing irrelevancy. And I talked about this in a previous video. Donald Trump is terrified to be irrelevant. And for the first time, when he is flexing his wings, when he is demanding that Republicans do something, they're not doing it as frequently as they used to. When he is flexing his muscles on a world stage and demanding Tehran do something, they are not doing it. His poll numbers are a disaster. For the first time, when he is screaming his BS at the American people, they're not buying it. You can't get on a stage anymore and say, your life is so amazing under me, when the reality is so clearly different. And I think that this was so clear in a wild video I'm about to show you. When Vivek Ramaswamy, who is Donald Trump's pick for governor in Ohio, literally got booed off of a stage by young Republicans. I mean, brutally booed. I'm going to play this. And it's just another example of Donald Trump falling into irrelevancy, which he fears so deeply. And we've seen so many examples of Donald Trump getting just crushed lately. Today, he also had a press conference where the guy's cognitively declining. He's like screaming about how we're going to hit Iran so hard as the war kind of starts to really spiral out of control, as it appears we're going to get into a kind of this new phase of the war where the United States becomes more aggressive, maybe goes through possibly 10 to 14 day bombing campaign, because Donald Trump needs an off-ramp for Iran and he can't find it. And it is scaring him because as his poll numbers collapse and he can't find an off-ramp to Iran and he's watching his candidates get booed in places like Ohio by his own base, he's realizing, oh God, what if people stop paying attention to me? And that is very scary for him. So let's break this down, because not only is it scary for him, it's also potentially scary for us. I think it makes it more likely he will make more extreme decisions because of his fear of being irrelevant. He's watching this happen. He's watching his movement start to turn on him, and he's going, okay, I need a way out. I need to get more aggressive on Iran. I need to get more aggressive when it comes to the midterms to try to steal the midterms, et cetera. So let's break this down. First, let's just go through two or three videos of Donald Trump getting booed lately, because it's been bad. I mean, this was at MSG, obviously, the NBA Finals. Let me play this video real quick. Before we hop into all this, I'm not Adam Mockler, and you might recognize my background. Don't tell Adam this, but I took over his desk, all right? The guy is out of town right now. He's on vacation, but Mockler Media never stops. You've probably seen Adam still recording videos every day. I couldn't convince him to take a full break. I tried. The kid works harder than anyone I've ever met. I said, Adam, you need to take a break. He said, okay, I'll go on vacation, but I'm still going to record videos. I'm still going to be on from like 7 a.m. to noon. And then after that, Chris, you can take over. Well, don't tell Adam that here in Chicago, I drove over to the studio and I'm taking over his desk space, all right? But if you appreciate the fact that Mockler Media never stops working, we always work to bring you guys the truth. It would mean so much if you appreciate that. If you appreciate the fact that we're never going to stop reporting this stuff, if you hit like, hit subscribe, share this video out, and check out my YouTube channel down below. It goes a really, really long way. Truly, I appreciate each and every one of you. It's weird looking at myself with like Adam's background. I bet some of you clicked on this video and you're like, wait a second, you're not Adam, but you're at his desk. And you guys kind of look similar. It's okay, I'm not Adam, Chris Mowry. All right, here we go. Let's take a listen to the first video. I mean, that's pretty effing brutal for Donald Trump at MSG. I'm sure many of you remember that. You remember the World Cup recently? This is such a good example of where Donald Trump's at, because we got some crazy news about the World Cup today. And it all started, all of this disaster, on a world stage for FIFA. You now have European countries, deciding to boycott FIFA today. And I feel like all of this started. You're like, okay, how do we get to that point where all this crazy news came out today? It started here when it was FIFA, the World Cup was here in the United States, and Donald Trump inserted himself. Take a listen. I mean, people so clearly not happy to see Donald Trump at the World Cup. And we all saw him, you know, try to basically be a winner, be a part of the trophy celebration for Spain, and everybody being like, oh my God, this guy is so weird, such a loser. You had Infantino, who's FIFA's president, try to, you know, pull him away. But what's funny is that we learned today, it's such a good example of where Donald Trump is at. FIFA president Gianni Infantino plans to create a $20 billion company running the World Cup with private investors, including, get this, the Kushner family. Here we go. Another example of the corruption out in the open. Everybody is getting rich together. Now, Infantino saying, you know what, let me get in on the game. And because he decided he was going to sell FIFA to private investors, European countries today decided that they would boycott all FIFA tournaments, including the World Cup, following a proposal to sell off commercial rights to private investors, such as potentially people connected to Donald J. Trump. The world hates the guy. And he is trying every single possible way to rake in A, as much money as he can, and B, he wants to stay relevant. He wants to keep power. Now, let's play this Vivek video. And I have another angle of this. Actually, the entire clip is 14 minutes. I want to play this section, but then I'm kind of splice through the big clip. Because, like, this is not, a lot of people on Twitter are saying, oh, you're taking it out of context. If you want to go watch this 14-minute clip from the moment he gets on stage to the moment he leaves, I mean, again, a group of young Republicans, they despise him.
The truth of the matter is, you know, no matter what happens in whichever direction we go, people of my generation have already made it, we're going to be fine. It's going to be your generation that pays the price. That choice belongs to you.
You're a political cretin, and you need to get the fuck out of here.
Wow. Wow. I mean, dude, literally getting booed off stage. That is insane. You have people yelling at him, and what a comment there. I mean, if you could give any example of the Trump administration currently being so out of touch with the American people, I think that's like prime example number one. As they say, your life is great, the economy is great, Donald Trump's fulfilling his promises of the golden age of America, no new wars, right? Because it's not a war, guys, it's a conflict. Like, they're so out of touch, their handpicked candidate in Ohio getting booed off stage by young Republicans. And he says, you know what? Like, at the end of the day, like, my generation is going to be fine. Oh, my God. Yeah, I think young people don't really, that's not exactly what they want to hear right now. So I'm obviously not going to play all of this, but let me just play a few seconds of this. Like, this is nuts.
Tell the audience what they want to hear. They all clap. You tell them more what they want to hear. And then you all go home. Yeah, it's pretty boring. We're going to do things a little differently tonight. If you care about somebody, you tell them the truth. If you care about yourself, you tell them what they want to hear. I'm going to give you the truth. The real divide.
What about Ingram? Sater!
This is what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the real divide in the country. It's not Republicans and Democrats. It is between. Do you want to give a speech about Israel and Iran?
So just a minute there. I think you see already how this played out. Okay. I mean, man, the tension in that room. Like, I can feel it, and I'm not even there. People screaming, yelling, asking about Israel, asking about AIPAC. This now generational divide within the Republican Party. People upset, obviously, very upset, not just young people, but generally about the fact that, you know, you promised no new wars. You promised to end this kind of constant notion that we've had, especially amongst my generation. All I've ever known is the United States overseas involving themselves in these conflicts, regime change that always end up in tons of money spent, lots of lives lost, and disaster. We go toward the end here where he's getting, you know, ready to kind of wrap up after 12 brutal minutes.
You know, no matter what happens in whichever direction we go, people of my generation have already made it. We're going to be fine. It's going to be your generation that pays the price. That choice belongs to you. So,
political cretin, and you need to get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
I want to hear it in this room. If you believe that the government is the source of actually creating the solution to your problems, go ahead and clap your hands. You want the government to fix your problems? You want them to print money from on high and give it to you and penalize the people you don't like? Go for it. But if those of you who believe, who still believe in free enterprise, who still believe in capitalism, who still believe in actual liberty, let me hear you tonight. If you actually believe in you're going to be carrying the rest of this room on your back. The country depends on you, and I hope for the rest of them that you're successful and can actually create wealth and create success instead of villainizing it. Peace out. We'll see you guys.
Wow, what a message there. When the one time some people in the room clap for you, you're like, you know what? You guys are going to have to pick up the rest of these losers, my voters, the people I'm trying to get to vote for me. You guys are going to have to pick up a bunch of the rest of these Republican losers on your back. They have no idea what they're talking about. I mean, my goodness, not looking good for Donald Trump in Ohio. And again, Trump's approval this week, we're looking at the lowest of all time. 34% CNN, Quinnipiac, 32%. The last time objectively he was this unpopular was right after January 6th. His political career was considered dead. I think by several metrics, he's more unpopular than that time. I mean, this was him today, right? He just had a cabinet meeting, which, believe it or not, this might come as a huge surprise, but it was just him lying over and over, saying that he's a victim, and then his cabinet members just praising him, like a cult-level praise that is so effing embarrassing for our country. Take a listen.
Caused their defeat too, and you know, you'll probably hear from them too, yeah.
Mr. President, that's not wrong. There's a report that you got a proposal from the military to go big and hit them hard over 10 or 14 days.
Well, we're going big.
Are you going to consider?
We've already gone big. Look, I mean, what's big? They had 159 ships. That was their entire Navy, 159. Their entire Navy is laying at the bottom of the sea. I'd say that's going big. They had 200 airplanes, they're all gone, every one of them. They're not one airplane. They had anti-aircraft weaponry, very good, but it didn't work. And it's all gone. Their radar is all gone. Their leaders are all gone. Everything's all gone. But they'll fight onward.
Mr. President,
I mean, again, it's really simple. No wonder people hate you. This is delusional. It's completely delusional. We're looking at going big, as that reporter said. And just the other day, we launched new strikes, and CENTCOM says, and I wish a reporter would look at Donald Trump and ask him this, CENTCOM's report from their sets of heavy strikes, as they called it, just the other night, they said they targeted different pieces of the IRGC, specifically anti-aircraft, specifically things related to their Navy, military, you know, like positions, things like that. All things that Donald Trump says are gone, don't exist, have been eviscerated. Well, those two things can't be true at the same time. And so the question you have to ask yourself is this. Is Donald Trump, does he actually believe what he's saying because he's an 80-year-old narcissist who's cognitively declining and he's surrounded by loyalists? Or is he lying and he knows he's lying and he's just continuing to try to push to get people to listen to him because he's realizing that he's kind of, again, losing this relevancy? He's scared of that? That's a question, and if you made it this far, let me know what you think in the comments down below. That's a question I ask myself every day, because I also think where Donald Trump's mindset is at and how much this cognitive decline is taking over will dictate what he does in 2026. Like, if he actually knows that this is a lie and he's freaking out and he knows that Iran is going really poorly, we're on month 6 of the 2 to 3 week incursion, then what is he willing to do to keep that, to keep himself relevant, to retain power, to make money, to be able, even if he wasn't going to run for a third term, to be able to push the party in the direction he wants. What he wants more than anything is power. He wants to be able to sit in Mar-a-Lago, if he's not the president, sit in Mar-a-Lago and wield the Republican Party at his direction no matter what. He wants to be able to dictate who is leading the Republican Party, dictate what they do, and down people in the Republican Party, eviscerate them from a single tweet. That's what he wants. He wants that power. And so if things are falling apart for him, what is he willing to do? What lengths is he willing to go to retain that power? Will he go with a very aggressive bombing campaign for 14 days because I'm backed into a corner, I have no choice? Are we talking about a ground invasion? Are we talking about Donald Trump actually walking away from all of it and just declaring victory while Iran gets to control the Strait of Hormuz and ruin the world economically, potentially, this huge economic problem that could last a decade, two decades? Is he willing to blow up essentially the world by walking away, letting Iran win, letting, I don't know, China walk in and pick up the pieces? Are allies furious? Like, change the direction of American history forever. Obviously, he's already done that. But in this instance, change our ability to wield influence on a global stage. Is he willing to change all of that just because he wants to retain power and he is scared of what's going to happen? That is a scary, scary, scary thought. And again, today from CNN, Trump gets conflicting message as he seeks an exit ramp from the Iran war. Just past 10 a.m. on Wednesday, we learned that a delegation of Saudi officials arrived at the West Wing carrying a message for the White House telling them they want this war to draw down. And so now our allies, Saudi Arabia is an ally, regardless of, I guess, how we all potentially feel about that. Saudi Arabia is an ally. Our ally is not happy. Our ally is saying enough is enough. And obviously Europe and the rest of the world kind of looking on and saying, maybe it's time to move on to from the United States. And so I think the next few months leading up to the midterms, a lot of these questions we're going to figure out the answer to. How far is Donald Trump willing to go as he fades out of relevancy? Please make sure you are registered to vote. And let me know what you think of all this in the comments down below. I appreciate you watching this video. Once again, my name is Chris Mowry. I'm filling in for Adam Mockler as he's on vacation. So again, if you appreciate the work that we do, hit like, hit subscribe, share the video. You already made it this far. Why not? It would mean a lot. Also, if you check out my YouTube channel down below, I hope everybody has a great rest of your day, and I will see you in the next one.